Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I was just thinking about that intro statement that I made for the last 34 years. This is where the hype ends and the help begins. And one time I think I was messed up and I said it backwards, and this is where the help ends and the hype begins. And, you know, you really think about it, that's what a lot of these self-help programs are out there. It's just a lot of hype and really not that much help. For the last 34 years, we have made it our point to have actual people, mentors, experienced at what they do, mentoring people through these programs and helping them, not to mention massive online information, educational program, live events, you name it, we've got it. It's been going on. What I want you to realize is that that's been going on for 34 years. I started Lifestyles in September of 1990. It is now September of 2024. So it's 34 years that we've been doing this same thing. And there's been good times, bad times, great times, all the above. But during all that period of time, the whole concept behind Lifestyles was to come in and get the information, education you need to, one, move away from past beliefs that are holding you in place. I mean, if you're living a life of quiet desperation and you're doing everything you were taught to do and it just isn't working, you know, then you have to hit that button and say, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting to get a different result. So that's part of what it is. And some people can get you with hype to get you through that. Some people like myself who don't like motivation, we like inspiration. We like to see the people that have actually done it, speak to them, get with them, and talk to them. So this coming, I guess, September 7th and 8th, I'm going to do a two-day. Now, I don't do very many two-days anymore. I used to do all of them. Then I went to doing half of them, and then a third of them, and then none of them. I am going to do one. I haven't done one in a long time, but this is going to be the anniversary one. I would suggest if ever you wanted to come to a two-day, this is the one to come to, because you're getting the guy that's got 34 years experience. You're getting the guy that taught all these other people how to do all this stuff that they do. In fact, you're getting the guy that taught almost everybody that's got a seminar business out there on how to do real estate, what to do. Not that they do what I do, but they learned from me enough to want to go try to do it, a cheaped out version of it. Come see me. Now, we're going to start with a case study on Thursday night, which is the 5th, Houston, Texas. You can come to it live. That's the preferred version. But if you can't, there is an online version you can sign up for. This is a case study. This is where we're going to bring people in and have them show their deals, explain their deals. Now, I was just went over the deals yesterday. The deals are incredible. They're really neat single-family deals. And we have a really interesting multifamily deal because it was just done. And, you know, people are always wondering, well, we just came out of 2 years of the roughest real estate market there is. Are these deals working now? And, of course, now they are working again, making sense again. And people are going to make good money with these things again. The last 2 years have been very difficult because interest rates to be very low, prices got to be very high, and then, boom, they popped the interest rates up on us. And when that happened, the deals were too expensive, and the interest rates wouldn't allow the deals to get done. And so the people that had bought them very, very, very expensive in the last year or two were stuck with properties that were worth less than what they paid for them. And so all that had to filter out over the last 2 years, and it has started to. It's not completed yet. And that's why yesterday when I was talking on the radio, I was speaking about the fact that the Fed just said they're going to lower interest rates. And immediately I was inundated with articles about the fact that generally when the Fed starts lowering interest rates is because it fears and or in the history, 11 out of the last 15 times the Fed's changed direction, started dropping interest rates, it indicated there was going to be a recession, right? So we went over that yesterday about how This is a true indicator. The four times that it didn't go into recession after they dropped the rates, the economy is in great shape, and our economy is not in great shape right now unless you listen to the Democrats, which is interesting because I was watching CNN this morning, and they were telling us that the economy is in great condition. People are doing wonderful. You know, then you change over to Fox, and the people are going, man, it's miserable. They don't get it. We're living terrible. The price is too high. Inflation's out of this world, and, you know, on and on and on. So the economy is not, and the unemployment is going back up again. People are starting to lose their jobs. Companies are not hiring. So the thing I need to get across to you today, and why I'm teaching this September, and why you want to come to this, is we've got to get across to you the intimate detail that while the economy can be going into recession on one hand, and that can be true if that's what's going on, and I don't know for sure that is, but if it is, that can be going on. But real estate investing is still great. In fact, Marcus & Millichap, which is a national real estate firm, I just watched a video of theirs, and they were stating, and here's where, you know, you don't know how much of it's hype and how much of it's really informational, but they're stating that all of a sudden it's starting to get busy again. Well, the concept is something I need to explain to you called negative arbitrage. What happens when you borrow money to make money, the borrowed money has to be less expensive than the money you're making. In other words, if we're over here and we buy a business and the business earns a 7% return without debt, when you put debt on it, it should leverage it up to be a 15% return. But that doesn't work when the debt you put on it is more expensive than what the income is. So when the debt got up to 7.5, and at the time the cap rates or what was the actual return on the investment were down in the 4s and 5s, you had negative arbitrage. You were actually losing money on every dollar you invested. Not only were you losing the money on the money you invested, you were losing the money on the money you were borrowing. And so this negative arbitrage situation is something that intelligent investors stay far away from, right? What they were saying is, okay, because interest rates have come down enough now, and because cap rates have gone up some, have gone up now. In other words, the businesses, the apartment businesses are becoming more profitable. Cap rates, returns are higher. And the debt is going lower, is costing less. There's now enough of a margin that people are interested in getting back into the business again. That's very logical. And that could be true at the very same time there's a recession, because the recession has nothing to do with whether or not people are going to buy. The recession is going to scare the average person. They don't have a job. They got to pay their bills. They don't know where that money's going to come from. And they're not going to be buying all the stuff everybody's going to be buying, like cars and new appliances and new furniture and new clothes and travel and all that stuff will start to hurt. But people still got to live somewhere. And there's not enough housing now, as Kamala Harris explained to everybody. And because there's not enough housing, people got to live somewhere. The rental income business is still going to survive. We're going to be there. The only difference is we're now going to be able to buy those properties at a much lower price. And when we buy them at a lower price, and then we finance them at a lower interest rate, the cash flow on the deals gets better. The interest rates are coming back down, so it's like, okay, we went through this time, now what happens? Well, one of two things happen, and we don't know which it is. Either we're going into a recession, like some people are screaming, and that the Fed lowering interest rates means that the recession's imminent, in which case the prices on real estate's going to go very, very low, and nobody else is going to have any money except the people that are in our programs around the country, teach, have been taught how to do it, how to pool their money, get these deals done, or use individually if you just want to buy houses or small apartments by yourself. The deals will be there for the people that are not scared to death, but a lot of the people are going to be scared to death. In fact, being fearful is one of the things I have to overcome with you. You have to come spend these days with me so you can see that I'm 100% confident that whether real estate values go up or real estate values go down, it doesn't matter. Whether Republicans win or the Democrats win, it doesn't matter. What we do is so universally needed that there is not enough housing. And by providing housing, we're not We're not out there gambling. We're not buying and selling and trying to get a good deal and then turn around and flip it to somebody else. We're not doing any of that stuff. We are grabbing pieces of real estate that are good pieces of real estate. We're making them better. We're the best product at the best price, and we're providing housing for people. And that's not going away anytime soon because there is no housing. Now, you have other fears. One of the fears I've gotten, a couple of emails, I got two of them sitting here, are Kamala Harris fears, governmental fears, Democrat fears that they're going to destroy the economy. Well, they may. But if they do, will people still need a place to live? Yes. Right? You have to get that. One lady wrote me and said, well, look, I was on the board whatever she said, I served on the city council. And they kept trying to pass rent controls, and they never did. But what if they do? I go, well, if they do, they'll just mess it up. And Kamala talked about nationwide rent controls and price controls. And everybody, as soon as she said that she was going to start looking for people or ripping people off, oh, my gosh, she lost 10%. You know, she lost 1 or 2 points in the polling right away because people don't want to hear that. Nobody's ripping anybody else off. There is a supply and demand curve out there, and there's not enough supply, and that's why housing is expensive. Nobody's ripping anybody off. So the bottom line is that the interest rates got so low that investors bought a ton of real estate, and so now the investors own a very large percent. But you have to understand, that percent is still very small compared to people out there that own their own homes and small investors. In fact, 80% of all rental units are owned by investors that have 10 or less units. That's you and I, guys. That's what the world's all about. So if they create rent controls, first of all, rent controls are local. Property laws, property code laws are all local, whether usually statewide laws, countywide, and you got to come from a state where everybody's a Democrat and is stupid enough to vote for that dumb stuff. And then when they do, like California has rent controls, then people are sleeping on the streets or don't have housing. And the people are going to be sleeping on the streets. And you start letting that stuff happen in Texas or Florida, you will lose your vote. You will be out, and those laws just won't be affected. Now, if there were some way that Kamala Harris could do that, if you could legally get away. And by the way, didn't Biden try to give away free college degrees to everybody, pay off everybody's college debt? I mean, he did it even when he knew it was illegal. So Kamala might try it. And then, you know, might have a mandate, but it'd get overturned by the Supreme Court because you don't have the right to take the asset away from an American. That is asset seizure. When you say you can't do anything with your asset, that is asset seizure. You're making the value of all these assets go down in value. So, again, that's another argument altogether, but I don't even worry about that argument. I don't think it'd get that far because if they freeze rental income rates, I'm where I'm already making money on all the deals I'm doing, right? And if they freeze the rates, then what will happen is those people that don't have a place to live won't be able to get a place to live because they won't be able to afford it. There'll be no places left. And all the properties will become 100% occupied. Now, what will happen is the slumlords who don't run their places very profitably will stop maintaining them. And those places will become slums. And eventually, then they'll have to go after the slumlords. And when they go after the slumlords, they just take more properties off the market. And when you take more properties off the market, what happens to the value of what's left? Supply and demand. What happens to the value of what's left? It goes up massively. So I've been living this dream for 34 years, guys. There's been Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And the bottom line is I have a place for people to live. And they live in my housing. Bottom line, it happens because of creative financing. And the creative financing techniques are done through our finance companies that we have as vendors. And then boom. All of a sudden, you're a real estate investor also, and you've got income coming in. So when we come back from break, the next thing I want to talk to you about is retirement, because I've got some people that are afraid of where they're going to retire. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa, on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it. It's basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. So people are asking, how do I retire? I mean, you know, you've been taught your whole life. You go to work, you work your whole life until you're 60, 65, 70 years old. And that's like I keep hearing people telling me, you know, I'm 65. I'm not retired yet. What do I do? I'm 70. I'm not retired yet. What do I do? It's sad that you've been sold this bill of goods your whole life. You're going to work every day. You're going to wake up someday and be able to retire and live off a pile of money. Well, the average, and by the way, I got this off CNN today because CNN was saying how great the economy is, right? And they were bragging this, that there are, that the average 401k is $127,000 now. And they were so excited that the average 401k was over $100,000. And like that really shows the economy is great. The 401k is up 13% or something like that thing from a year ago or something. And so that shows us a great economy. No, that shows us the stock market went up and some of these 401ks filled up with a little money. But does that mean anything? If you had $127,000 and you wanted to retire, what are you going to take away from that $127,000? You realize you haven't paid taxes on it yet, right? So if you retire and you pull money out at a 4% drawdown, which is the standard deviant that they look at for people, I'm just going to go to the trusty phone calculator here and stick in $127,000. And if you can pull out 4% of that a year and live off of it, because that's what the financial planners tell you, times 0.04, that means you're living on $5,000 a year, $5,080. Let's divide that by 12 months. And you got a monthly cash flow of $423. Now stick that with your Social Security, and you're living on $2,000 or $3,000 a month, guys. That's not that exciting. I've got a large Social Security because I've made a lot of money, and I paid a lot of money into Social Security. So I got the top. Whatever it is, the top you can get, I get. But I don't take it because I don't need it. And I, at some point, have to take it. I know that. But at this point, I haven't. But that $127,000 didn't get you where. But here's the second part of this story. They were also bragging that there is a record number of people with over $1 million in their 401k. There's 497,000 people that have over $1 million in the 401k. And at first glance, it's like, well, 497,000, how many people are there? You know, well, there's 450 million people. So it's about one-tenth of the people out there have $1 million. 90% of the other people are a part of this 120. And by the way, if there's an average of 127 and there's these people that have $1 million, you know, what is the real number, right? Most people don't even have $100,000. Now, let's just talk about the people that have the million. Now you go to retire and you go, okay, now I can draw down, you know, the money and I'm going to pay taxes on it. So if I can draw down on $1 million, 4% a year, that would be $4,000 a year. Let's see. Let me figure this out because I don't do math well on the radio. See, times 0.04. That means I could draw down $40,000 a year. $40,000 a year, right? Divided by 12. I can live on $3,000 a month, $3,300 a month, plus my Social Security. So now you're living at $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Now, you are in your brain saying, I'm a millionaire, but that only equates to $5,000 a month. Any one single property I own, every one single property I own, earns more than $10,000 a month tax-free. So if you're earning $5,000 and you got to pay taxes on it, you're taking home $4,000. Any one single investment I own makes me more than double that. So, and that's you're a millionaire. You got $1 million in the 401k, and you're still, I don't think I could live at $5,000 a month. I mean, if I had to, if I was desolate, I'd just get rid of my house, get rid of my cars, get rid of my wife, get rid of everything I have. I don't know what I'd do. But to get down to $5,000 a month, I mean, that's what I lived on back 30 years ago. So does that really mean that much that you have this $1 million in the 401k? Because remember, you haven't paid taxes on it. You're going to have to get that money out of there to live on it. You're going to have to pay taxes on it to get it out of there. That's all there is to it. Now, if you wait long enough, you get out of paying the penalty. But there's lots of ways to get out of the penalty even before you get to be, what is it, 59 and a half. There's a 50-year, 55 type of withdrawal you can take. There's all kinds of ways to use a legal system to get the money out. I teach that also at the two-day. The bottom line is, though, is that you pulling that $1 million out doesn't make you rich. It's going to leave you some amount of money. What you really need to know is, how do I come out with whatever money I have and start producing passive streams of income that at one point will replace my income? That's the secret. The retirement image that you've been taught your whole life is that you're going to go save up a pile of money and then you're going to live off that pile. Well, if you had $1 million and you're used to living on $100,000 a year, right? That's 10 years and that money's gone unless you can make that money make some money. And you have to understand that right now savings accounts are paying very high interest. I've got interest rates as high as 4.5, 5, even I think 5.25 is probably the highest I've got in my savings accounts. They're online savings accounts. That's going down. Now that the Fed's lowering interest rates, I guarantee you all those savings accounts are going to start dropping their rate of return, dropping their interest. And all of a sudden, it goes back. At one point, I remember when I started watching and paying attention to it, I had money that was only earning 1/3% of return in my savings accounts. 1/3%. Now it's earning 5.25. But when those interest rates go back down, savings accounts go down, bonds go down, CDs go down, and now all of a sudden the fixed incomes that you were hoping that you were going to be able to lock in with that $1 million, they disappear. And so you have nothing. But at the same token, I own real estate. And that real estate will need people to live in it for the rest of its existence. If it gets old, we renovate it. If it needs maintenance, we maintain it. All that comes out of our cash flow so that the entity can continue to operate and provide income for us for the rest of our life. If you don't have that, then that $1 million, and remember, this is only 1/10 of Americans have that much money, right? And when they get it out, it's not even that much money. And if you pulled it all out at once, you'd pay the 40% tax rate. I'm in a 40% tax rate bracket. You would have only $600,000, which means you'd have even less, right? So depending on how you work it, you're not going to have a very nice retirement. Or what you're going to do is keep working. That's really what most people do. It's time to take action, guys. One of the things I find interesting is that retirement thinking is an age group thing. In other words, you go through these parts of your life, and most people aren't thinking about retirement. Now, I ended up thinking about retirement very early in life because I went to 2 years of college and then quit and went out and went to work. And so I worked for 12 years, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in the health club business. And then one day I woke up and said, I can't take this anymore. I can't work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I also woke up and saw that I had lost a large amount of money in the stock market. So the dream of me working hard for my entire life and saving and saving and saving and saving, it just sort of vanished. I mean, it's not that I lost all my money, but I lost a good large enough portion of it that it made me go, man, it took me 12 years to save this and I lost half of it. Do I now work another 6 years just to get back to even? And I said, there's got to be a better way. And that's when I went looking. And 2.5 years after I started investing in real estate at 34 years of age, I retired. Now, here is an article or an email from a family that's about that age. They're 32 years old. And my kids are in their 30s. I think we have a 34, a 35, and a 39-year-old child. And they're at that age. But what's interesting is you're not really all that interested in investing in your early 30s usually because you're worried about finding a home to live in, a babies, you know, about the time to start having babies or maybe already started having babies. You know, you don't know where your career path is yet or you're trying to build a career path and you really don't have time to think outside of the box, so to speak, of what and where you should do try to retire. So I'm going to read this to you. I'm not going to say the guy's name because I didn't tell him I was going to read his email, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you my name is blank, and I'm 32 years old, married. My wife is 34 years old, and we are expecting our first child in 2 months. I've been listening to you for 4 years. Now, think about this. He's 32. He's been listening to him since he's 28, basically since COVID started. I'm in South Denver area, and I'm HVAC technician, and my wife is a psychologist with her own practice. We both currently rent like the average millennials, and we have a decent savings between our retirements, cash and brokerage investments totaling 75 to 80K. We make a combined $180,000 a year. I have a lot of questions for you, but the best place I know to start is this. How do my wife and I get started in real estate investing while also trying to find our own home? I would love to talk with someone or even read something that I can digest. So I sent some people to talk to them and help them work out a plan. But I want to bring this for everybody out there. Guys, in their particular case, the same position is they should not buy their first personal residence yet. They should buy a rental house that starts bringing them in additional passive income. So they both have good jobs. But the rental income and the asset that they buy will increase their income and take the pressure off of their jobs. They got a kid coming. The psychologist is going to get pregnant, and she's going to have days and, you know, not want to work as hard and want to spend more time with her child. And HVA guys work their butt off, I know that, and they make good money. But the bottom line is, if you don't start investing, you never will. Buying your own home is going to take a good chunk of your money, and it's not going to be paying you any dividends. In fact, you now have the expense of a home. My dad told me something when I was very young. I didn't really understand it when he told it to me. Now I understand it totally, because it's not what it costs to buy something. It's what it costs to maintain it. So once you buy a home, instead of renting, you now are paying for that roof, paying for that tree that falls on that roof in the next storm. Mowing that yard and cleaning that pool and, you know, everything and anything, and the plumbing breaks and the electricity and the AC wears out. Well, he's an AC guy. I guess he fixed his own AC, huh? It's just all of a sudden, all those overhead costs are yours. And for what? For no income. But if you've got an investment property, all those costs are carried by the tenant. The tenant pays for buying your house for you, paying your mortgage payment for you, all of the maintenance costs, and then money left over for you. And if you get into the habit of doing that now when you're young, you can build up nice little nest egg. And there's nothing but inflation coming. I mean, you got to understand this. The Fed just keeps putting money out there and money out there and money out there and promising more and more and more money for everybody for free stuff. That's inflation. They're just printing dollars. So if you don't have assets to inflate, your money is losing money. And so you're never going to get out of the rat race. You're going to be stuck in it. And rat race is a term Robert Kiyosaki came up with. I call it just, you know, getting in, living a life of quiet desperation, just trudging through life, doing the same thing every day, day in, day out, day in. And you're only 30. You got to do it for another 35, 40 years. You got to get started. And the way you get started now, with my kids, we went out and bought them their own personal home at a massive discount as if it was an investment, so they could live there for a while, clean it up, and buy another one and turn that one into a rent house. That's another possibility this family could take a look at. All right, remember this. It's anniversary month. Come see me September 5th, 7th, and 8th. You don't want to miss out. Get online. Get signed up. I want to see you there. Have a great day. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.